so.
Whoop.
It's gonna be something now, though.
Okay, yeah. All yeah, right. That's true.
So, here you go. Now you get the chance again. We're recording now.
Yay. Hey, everybody. What's up? Welcome back to Mind Vector Podcast. I'm your host, Janet, and this is my co-host, Marshall.
Hello, Internet.
So, today we're going to be talking about hoarders, squatters, substance abuse, and addictions. So, where do you want to start?
People have a lot of neuroses. Bag lady, you're going to hurt your back carrying all those bags like that. So.
Okay, Erica.
I identify as Eric. But, so, we were looking at this story here. It looks like in Oakland, California, there is a group of women who have this thing going called Moms for Housing. And basically they're arguing that, you know, housing is a human right, as, you know, leftists tend to do. They believe that everything's a human right, except for, you know, keeping your own money. So we, on the website, we're seeing that they're trying to make it seem like they're not necessarily hurting anyone except for the real estate companies and the big banks, which that isn't exactly true. But I guess, did you want to pick up where you said it, or we just?
Yeah, I mean, they can definitely fuck up your property value as the owner of the property, because I mean, they're not going to be in there fixing up the place. Obviously, they're going to be in there tearing shit up and not paying rent, not contributing to maintaining the property as a normal tenant.
Yeah, and if you don't really have ownership of the property, you're not going to be invested in the same way.
And no, even renters have, they're more careless about, you know, even people who pay for living places.
Yeah, and there's like
a lot of that.
If you're just a squatter wandering around, I don't think these people are going to generally take the time to research the property and see, well, is this owned by somebody or is this like a huge bank that won't mind? Like, they won't care. Like, they will just go in and, you know, not everybody that's homeless is on drugs or, you know, some type of substance or something. But if you're homeless, a lot of things kind of had to happen for you to end up in that situation. Like, problems just don't appear out of nowhere most of the time. Like, usually there's cause and effect. So
mental illness?
Yeah, mental illness. But
these women have kids, right? That's another part of it, is that there's kids involved.
Yeah, and, you know,
I mean, they're mothers, yeah.
And like the left likes to do, they do tend to hide behind kids, so.
I don't understand why they're protecting entitled people.
Well, it's weaponized empathy and a bit of pathological altruism, as I've heard it termed. So, yep. Basically, in the situation, you know, it's probably a nightmare for the people that live there and are paying rent. Because, like you said, can you imagine just, you know, waking up to a drug house next door after you've, you know, chosen, you know, where you can afford to live and everything like that? So,
you're running a meth lab.
Yeah, it could.
You need a place to cook.
Yeah, like, would you want Walter White moving in next door?
I'm moving in next door.
just to start cooking.
He has his redeeming qualities, so I'll give him a pass, but I don't know about these ladies. They kind of piss me off seeing that. Because I have a little bit of a desire to go into real estate, so that would really tick me off. Not just selling or buying houses, but being a property owner, manager, renter, landlord, I guess. So that's one thing that's got me thinking. It's like, what would I do if that happened to one of my properties? Like, well, I'd call the cops. So, but apparently that wasn't even a deterrent for them.
Yeah, it just became like a statement that they're trying to make, that, you know, and it's nothing really all that new. We want free stuff everything's a human right, except keeping your own money. So, I don't know. I don't really get the attitude there. Like, a friend of mine actually had to deal with something pretty recently like that. His family owns a house in another state. And they, you know, they like to stay there. And, like, it's really messed up because they were going to spend their Christmas in that house. So, well, they were going to go on a holiday break to that house. So, what had happened was his mom ended up preparing a bunch of food for them to eat and just kind of take their vacation there before Christmas. And when they get there, there had been, like, all these squatters. So, not only is their holiday ruined, they have to just spend the entire holiday cleaning up other people's filth, you know? Like, these people, they pissed all over the place, and there's, you know, bio waste everywhere and Pop-Tarts. It's horrible.
Yeah, so, there's no telling what all kind of shit they have.
Yeah, he actually found, like, a journal that one of them was keeping. I don't know exactly what he did with it, but, you know, you can probably read it and tell that the person probably wasn't
stable.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know. I could see if they were, like, contributing members of society and they were, like, actually trying, and, you know, even if they don't have any income, they can still work for shelter, you know, whatever happened to the shelters. I think these kind of people actually probably get kicked out of shelters.
Yeah, and
that they have to go and find.
Yeah, that's a good question too, because it's not, I don't know exactly why they would have to go to, you know, try to squat on someone else's property when there are going to be shelters available. There's going to be a ton of resources available for them because they are women and they do have kids.
So, yeah, that's why I don't get it. It's like there's tons of resources for women.
Yeah, they're gonna be able to go, you know, go get some type of sympathy benefit somewhere. So it's not really, you know, I think it just seems a little entitled that the first thought was to go basically squat in someone else's property. Because, like, what else happened to where you think that that's the answer? You didn't have any friends you could, you know, stay with, any family you could stay with? Like,
well, they probably burned all their bridges, too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how badly are you managing your relationships that you have no one that is willing to help you and your kid, you know?
No one will take you in, yeah.
So, That's kind of the whole, you know, I know we, like, the standard answer that a lot of people think about is mental health, but it's, you know, it's a nice answer, but at the same time, people that are mentally ill, they can
It's never things. That cut and dry.
They can do some pretty bad damage, like, you know, the as we spoke about in the last episode, the Joker was mentally ill, but when it starts showing up in the form of evil, you know, it's not many people are going to keep that sympathetic attitude, because if people were really willing to get behind this, you know, a lot of women do this too. They'll just start a Kickstarter. They'll say, hey, I had a baby, blah, 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 blah. I need help making rent. So there's
I see that on Craigslist all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, what does this shit have to do with pets? I swear, I'm looking at pets and then there's this chick with taking a bathroom selfie, posting about her unfortunate
situation.
Yeah, supposed situation.
Her sob story and her kid, and that all just seems to be, like, unpredictably tragic.
Yeah.
Whoever could have seen where these actions were going to lead me, if only there was some sign.
Gee.
So.
Yeah, I don't ever default to pity when I hear stuff like that. Just not. There's always more to it.
I do.
But a lot of people do.
Yeah, for me, I mean, it's kind of like I do feel bad for them, because it's like when you see, I don't know, when you see someone making mistakes because they have such a huge blind spot, it's kind of sad, but at the same time, it's like that's their nature, and who knows, maybe, like, once they kind of figure out how to navigate their own nature, that's when they'll really know a solid way to hold on to the lesson instead of just having it kind of slip away. Because you could end up giving these people a place to live, and before you know it, you're the next bridge that they burned. So,
Yeah, but a lot of them, they realize that they can get just as much benefit without as much effort, if any. You know, yeah. I have a buddy who works construction, and he used to try to help them by offering them a job. His family owns a construction related business. And he told me one time that he used to give them money, and then he started offering them jobs, which would pay more. That's like by the day pay in cash. And yep. Their response was often, "Dude, I make more money standing on this corner doing this than you can pay me today." And after that, he was like, "Fuck them. Fuck that. They don't pay taxes. They get everything for free. Everything's handed to them. Fuck them. I'm never helping another homeless dude again." So that was it. And that really changed my mind about it too. Because I had, up to that point, I pitied him.
I saw a video on YouTube, you know, who's to say if it's true or not though, but basically this dude was following around a panhandler. He'd just been watching her, and she would just stay somewhere for a few hours, and then she'd cross the street and get in her car.
Oh yeah, they make money that way. They bus them around. There's like somebody that drives them around to different corners in the city, and just that's what they do.
Yeah.
You see different ones, but they kind of cycle through, and then end up seeing the same one like a few days later.
It's his shift. That's what I was thinking too. They just take homeless shifts.
Yeah, you get this corner on Wednesday. You know, Walter gets this corner on Saturday. Yeah,
it's like our entire homeless industry, just huge black market of donation rackets.
Yeah,
but that would be interesting. Like, I don't know, you make a. Probably a funny right along biscuit that movie.
That major highway in our town.
Yeah.
That one corner. That one's always got somebody on there.
Yep. So, yeah. I guess with me, when I do see them, I used to give them like any spare change I had, but nowadays I don't carry change. Everything's plastic. So I just started, like, I'll give them food. Like, that's about it.
Yeah. I've given water bottles and stuff in the summer, but that's about it.
But yeah, I mean, it's kind of telling if they're just like, oh, well, why work if I can just, you know, people choose the path of least resistance. So I get it.
Yep. So you're just enabling whatever put them there.
Yeah.
You know, my buddy was trying to give them a way out, and they don't want a way out.
Yeah, because even then, like, if they're sitting there working with the dude and he's willing to teach them a skill, like, that's almost like free education.
Yeah,
it's better than that because you're getting on the job training, which is like the best type of training. He doesn't go in any debt. He doesn't have to pay any bills.
He doesn't have to go to school or nothing.
Yeah, and he can work all the overtime if he's homeless. So
yeah, there's no shortage of jobs in construction. That's crazy.
Yeah, but you see people that are homeless with animals. That's one of those things. I don't know how that happens. Like, I don't know if they're just waiting for it.
They're both eating out of the garbage.
Right.
Hey, people throw a lot of good shit away.
That's true. Well, so coming back to another topic, people who don't throw anything away.
Okay.
The next problem for homeowners, hoarders. So... yeah, I guess that's kind of that'd be a terrible game. Just take a picture of a hoarder's house and a squatter's house and see. Just see if you can guess which one's which.
Oh, God.
So
guess the hoarder house. Yeah, they don't throw their garbage away either.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe the hoarders could just start hoarding the squatters and problems. I'm just kidding.
God, Ollie. I mean, some of the worst cases I think I saw on the hoarders... where they were keeping their feces.
Yeah. Like
it was piling up toilet paper and buckets of piss and shit. And
it's like, why? These people are just like making bio warfare in their house.
Ugh.
Like, oh yeah. Speaking of, you know, homeless and panhandlers making more money than people working or whatever. One thing that I saw that was pretty funny. It's an old movie. It was a parody movie, Don't Be a Menace to South Central While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood. You ever see that one?
Yeah.
It's a long time ago. It's one of the Wayans movies. There's a scene in that one where there's a guy just standing on the street panhandling, and then I think they toss him a dime or something. The dude takes off like his brown dirty robe, has a suit under it. He takes off his wig, and then he just runs to like a Lexus and drives off. So,
dude,
joke was ahead of its time, but
yeah. I often wonder what we would see if we followed one, just to see where they end up spending the night.
Right.
Probably in.
It would be like a
big side of town in a nice little mansion.
It'd be like a dangerous documentary. Like, I don't know, you could get like an Australian accent and just narrate it.
There you go.
Here we have the squatter hunter. But
in his natural element.
Nope.
Dude's digging through a dumpster.
This is how he's foraging for food, and now he's gonna go burrow in someone else's property.
It looks like he found a condom.
Oh, now he's prepared to mate. Here you can see another one doing a mating dance known as twerking.
Oh no.
Oh, there's dust shaking off of it too while she twerks. But yeah, so when it comes to hoarding, that's one of those issues that sucks to deal with, because I grew up in a house like that. Like, it was mitigated to a degree, because I lived, my mother, when she had me, like a couple years later, she moved in with my grandmother. So my grandmother was actually pretty good about not making too much of a mess. She would just have days where everything was like, I don't know what the hell happened. Like, she had a breakdown or something, but
the bomb went off.
There would just be stuff everywhere, but she would clean it up like after a week or so. But with my mom, it was just not like that. She, it would just get worse and worse and worse. And, you know, it's a slippery slope, because usually the first thing they'll always say is, you know, maybe not explicitly in these words, but it'll be, well, that's sentimental, you know?
Mm.
So the biggest thing when it comes to hoarding, I think, is one, you have to kind of manage your anxiety, because that seems to be what is at the core of it. That and, you know, I think they say a lot of times too, it happens after some type of trauma with
my, yeah.
And with my mom, I could kind of see how that would happen. Like, she ended up in a marriage that didn't last long. I think it lasted like maybe two years after I was born. So, and then I think her dad had died the year before. So, you know, that's kind of a lot for somebody to deal with. Your parent passes, you have a baby, and then your things aren't working out with your partner for, you know, whatever reason. So,
yeah, that's how she'd cope.
Yeah, she kind of ran to having all this stuff to kind of probably, I don't know, that, and, you know, she's probably overwhelmed with trying to work and, you know, raise a kid. So, it's a lot. It's a lot to deal with. So I can see how that would kind of lead to like a traumatic situation. But later on, like it started really becoming a problem, because, you know, I would try to get rid of stuff or whatever, and it would always, you know, cause like
find its way back.
Yeah. And my uncle, he ended up moving in around the time I was in middle school, because his daughter's mother, when he fell ill, he was still living with her, and they got into a fight, and she jumped on him with a knife, and he was weak because he had, I don't know if it was a stroke or something that he had had, but he was ill, and she basically tried to kill him, but luckily one of his friends was there to stop it. So after that happened, he ended up moving back home too with my grandmother. So, you know, my uncle.
So then you got four people in the house.
Yeah. Well, he brought the daughter too.
So, oh, five. Wow.
So
he took his daughter.
Yeah, because, I mean,
after that,
the mom wasn't. Wow. Clearly, she wasn't too sane.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope she went to jail.
Yeah, and, you know, they talk about sexism. Like, you know, he had told me before that he was getting weird looks from, you know, women and, you know, people there when he was trying to get custody of his daughter. Because, you know, people, they don't like to rip, you know, kids from the mom.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if the mom's on drugs and, you know, killing men, that's I think she could do better with somebody who's not that way.
Yeah, you have to make a pretty strong case against a woman for her to not get her kids in custody thing.
So he managed to get custody of her. So, yeah, but my uncle, he was kind of an enabler too. Like, what I decided to do to try to remedy the problem eventually was like, okay, I have the idea. Why don't I just slowly start throwing things away that maybe she's forgotten about? But apparently my uncle would go through the trash or something right before.
God damn.
And before I know it, it would find its way just back in the front room of the house. And I'm like, what the hell? And then occasionally my stuff that I would throw away would find its way. Like, I would see remotes from stereos that we no longer had, like broken stereos. I would throw out the remote, and before I know it, it's just sitting in the front room again. So it's like a test of my sanity.
Well, but paint us a picture of how bad it was, though, because they're just saying there's stuff and it's disorganized and trying to throw stuff away and it comes back. But how bad was it?
Well, with mom, it was a ton of clothes. Like, she had clothes that she had outgrown. So she wanted to keep those. And she always had, like, this idea that eventually she's going to have a garage sale. And, you know, it just never happened. Like, it was my stuff, too. Like, from when I was, like, a toddler. She's like, well, no, I need that. What if you want to give it to your kids or something like that? And
damn. It's like, I could not wait to get rid of my baby's clothes. It's like, we're getting rid of this. This is no use, no more. Give it to somebody who needs it. Wow.
Yeah, so it was a ton of clothes. And then it got kind of worse because the clothes are blocking out, like, furniture and stuff like that. So she would just set stuff on top of the piles. And before you know it, it would just be like, you know,
Is this a chair?
Yeah, basically that's what you have to kind of figure out when you go into a hoarder's house. You know, what can I sit on and what doesn't move? And what's not wet?
Oh no.
So, but yeah, I kind of wonder what causes it. And I think women tend to have a tendency to be hoarders more often than men. And I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely anxiety based, and well, the losses. It's usually a big loss that triggers it, and there's like this thing with permanence, because they've lost something, they're trying to fill that void, and then it turns out that stuff ends up being more permanent, more constant in their lives than people themselves. So they start to turn towards stuff.
Yeah.
Instead of people, they replace the people with stuff, and it kind of just it drives distance between the people who are still around.
Yeah.
Because of it, because of that deep insecurity of loss.
And that smell.
And the smell. There's definitely a lot of that. I have a close family member who went through divorce and went through two divorces, actually. Well, when the first one was technically divorce, and the second one was abandonment, basically. They left. They just up and left. They never came back. I mean, they kept in touch, but then it slowly phased out. And it was just basically abandonment. So that second abandonment, or the second split, it triggered animal hoarding. And it was bad. It was pretty smelly. So,
what kind of animals? That was
cats. There was one that they had. They had a dog, and it had puppies, and it had like five or six of them, and they didn't ever get rid of them. I don't know what happened to them, but they ended up getting rid of them all. I think the guy got rid of them. But so she had that, and then her children were kind of starting to. They were growing up, so they were starting to leave the nest, so to speak. But then something would happen, and then they'd have to... One of them, like one by one, they started to come back. So it was animals, and then all the kids were coming back home, which if you're trying to start, have a relationship with somebody new, that's not going to be really appealing. I can see why it wouldn't be appealing to the guy, right? if everybody's moving back home, it's like, fuck. You know, you expect these kids to be up on their feet already and living on their own, but they're all coming back, so what the fuck. And then they had two of their own kids, so that was a big stressor, I'm sure. But then once he left, she turned to cats. Cats were the comfort. And so feeding cats, the cats that were outside, well, it turns out that there were a lot of strays around. So, and then she got in touch with like an animal rescue, and then she's just one of those people who can't really turn down a cute, fuzzy thing. So she ended up taking in a pregnant cat or two, and they multiplied from there. And she'd never found homes for them. They just kind of lived with her. And yeah, it was not ideal.
Jeez.
There was a lot of cats, like at least seven. No, maybe like 10.
That is a lot of cats.
And yeah, well, she could justify it because she has a big house, a lot of square feet. So
the cats were squatting.
The cats were the squatters.
So, well, at least they use a litter box instead of just the floor. So
you got to have a lot of goddamn litter boxes for them to not, because cats are really picky about where they go. If it's not, if it's too dirty for them, and cats are real, real finicky, they won't go in the box. They would rather, it's like if you were, if you never flushed the toilet, you wouldn't want to use the toilet if there's all this shit in there. So, I mean, they're kind of the same way with their environment. They're going to go and find a clean place to go because they don't want to be around that. So eventually they just pee in other places.
So the hoarders make the cats miserable as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So for a while, her kids like wouldn't come around. Like they didn't want to go be around that. And she didn't see a problem with it because it's like they get used to it. They stop seeing. Yeah, I don't think they ever see it as an issue to begin with. But once you're acclimated, it's like, I don't smell anything. She didn't smell it, but when you walked in the house, oh boy.
Yeah, I think a commercial coined that term. Well, that was the first time I heard the term, but they call it nose blind. It's basically you just get used to a smell, so you don't realize it's there. But the people that walk into the house, they're like, okay, I need to leave now. But
yeah. But like with ammonia well, ammonia comes from piss breaking down. It can fuck up your respiratory system. It can do some damage. So it's kind of dangerous in that respect. But
yeah, just having waste everywhere, it's not good for you. I know, at least in my case, like, you know, that's another thing too, going back to just a broader issue that hoarders do drive down property values. Like, there's a show that used to come on Animal Planet called Infested. People would have to deal with just all these pests, and, you know, they'd have clean homes or whatever, but they're living in an apartment complex, and the person next door, it's just like, you know, you don't know if someone's just highly negligent or dead in there or what, but the bugs just... the bugs just keep stacking up to the point that they just start overflowing. What are
all these flies?
Yeah, and it's not fair for everybody else. So that kind of becomes an issue where your bad habits are causing property damage and quality of life reduction for other people that, you know, they have nothing to do with it, and it's pretty unfair to them.
You have no control over your neighbor.
Yeah, there was one episode that was so gross because they had like a ton of roaches that just, and they animated the episode, but the roaches exploded out of the wall or something like that, and they had started nesting in the couch. So
when I was little, we lived in a roach infested shack. Basically, it was bad because, well, where we lived, it was a nicer climate. Fuck it, I'll just go ahead and say it. It was California.
Nicer climate.
Yeah, it was real nice. So roaches tend to thrive in a lot of places in California, I imagine. That was a particularly bad thing.
Yeah.
I remember one time our VCR broke and my mom was wanting to fix it, so she like opened it up and all these roaches just fucking popped out of it. Just scattering and like fucking egg pods and shit in there. It's like, oh well, no wonder shit all seized up with fucking roaches.
Time to burn that VCR.
Yeah, it didn't work. We had to get a new one. There was no saving.
Roaches just in there, Netflix and chilling. So, yeah, that's a pretty horrible situation. A friend of mine, he ended up dating a girl who was, I think, I don't know if he ever used the term hoarder, but he said that the house was a mess. I'm pretty sure it was. He just maybe didn't use the exact term. And she had a kid too, and they had a kind of a bitter breakup. And he got to a point where he was actually just thinking about calling CPS, but it wasn't out of care for the kid. It was just out of vengeance. So
wow,
yeah, and I get it. Like, you know, emotions get high or whatever when stuff like that happens. Plus, when you're young, everybody's just like a psycho when you're when you're really young. But I kind of wonder, like, I ended up talking him out of it because, for one, it was coming out of a place of just anger for him. It wasn't really coming out of wanting to help that kid or whatever. But, you know, he was pretty convinced that he could have ended up getting CPS to take that kid away. So, but, you know, I don't know what me talking him
what
out
became
of it.
Of him.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So, I don't know. I'm hoping the kid had a better chance with his mom than, you know, in the state's custody. So
in an orphanage. Yeah, no, yeah. There's a lot of bad shit that happens to kids when they're not around people who care, who are looking out for them. You know, it may have been a bad environment, but his mom would have been looking out for him.
Yeah.
Whereas in an orphanage, he's on his own basically.
Yeah, exactly.
You get 3 squares a day. And
it's like,
you're on your own.
Yeah. It's like kiddie prison. So
yeah, fucking Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, I had another buddy. He went through the foster system a bit when he was younger because his mom was on drugs, and somehow his dad didn't have custody of him. But eventually, when he was like, I don't know, I think like 6 or 7, his dad got managed to get custody of him, and his life got a lot better. But like he told me about some of the problems that he had in some of those foster homes, like. He stayed in, I think, like, maybe 4 to 6 or so. I don't remember the number because I haven't spoken to that guy in years. But he told me about it. And, he'd experienced sexual abuse in those houses and everything. So it's one of those things, like, when you get involved, you really don't know if you're helping or hurting. It's like we were, some of those stories on the news. They ended in police shootings when it was just a neighbor saying, hey, something weird's happening.
Oh, my God. Like just get your neighbor's phone number, please, and call them. Don't call the cops.
Yeah, the
cops. As competent as people are these days, man.
Yeah, things go sour. Like, there was that one police shooting a while back. There was this was, like, after that Las Vegas shooting. There was an exterminator who was clearing out some pests in the hotel, and I think he had a pellet gun or something like that, or maybe it was a gun to spray poison, but he had stuck it out the window and somebody saw it and they're like, oh no, it's happening again.
Dang.
So
the whole city had PTSD.
Pretty much. So this woman, she calls the police, and the police are like, now they're in hyper alert mode because they heard that there could be a weapon. The dude was just going to work one night and drunk. So they start giving this dude all these really bad commands. He was junk. You know, it was pretty obvious that the dude wasn't a threat. But he's sitting there crawling in the hallway because they told him to, like, get on the floor, cross your back legs, not crawl to us.
Oh, my God.
he was trying to apologize and say that he's having a hard time and all this stuff. And they just kept shouting commands over him.
I didn't break the law.
Yeah, I think they got his girlfriend out, but anyway, he ended up reaching to pull up his pants, and somebody yelled a gun, and they killed him. Yep. So
damn.
It was it was a horrible situation. The officer that gave the order to fire, I think he ended up leaving the country because, you know, police shootings have gotten so politicized. The dudes, they weren't minorities or anything. Like, this was a white dude who got shot in the hallway. It was pretty sad.
How did we get to talking about that from foster care?
An example of when you mean well and it just bad things happen.
Oh, yeah.
So, damn. Fucking, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So, lesson learned.
That's a good one.
Clean your room and call your neighbors.
There you go. So, that's the title of the podcast.
Yeah, that'd be a good episode title. Yeah. So, yeah. The animal hoarding thing, too. I don't know. That's kind of why I get a little, like, confused when I see girls that, like, love animals a little too much. Because, you know, it's cool if it's, like, a, you know, it shows that she's, you know, relatively perky, empathetic girl. And if she's like, oh, this is cute or whatever. But if it gets to the point where they have to bring home everything that moves, it's like, uh-oh. What void is she trying to fill?
If you're substituting human relationships with animals, that's not a good sign.
Yeah. And that's something that people are doing more and more as technology kind of connects and distances us more and more. So people spend more screen time than FaceTime with people nowadays. So, and, you know, that's one of those things that's so weird to me. Like, you'll see people that get in such a habit of texting with somebody that, like, if they die, they would just text, they'll just text them this or that because it's almost a next step of laziness, because people used to go to, like, a grave site and and talk to the grave or whatever to achieve their, you know, their catharsis.
That reminds me of that Black Mirror episode. Did you ever see that one?
Yeah, that was a great episode. The show was so good.
That is an awesome show. But yeah, it's like, would you want to, I mean, they upped the ante, right? They started it out with texting, and then it became more. Like, they created a consciousness out of his previous online interactions or something like that. Right. Yeah. So they created, like, an avatar of him. So then they marketed it as a service, a grieving type service. And then they would keep upping the ante, like, within the app, would you like to do this or would you like to do that? Like, do more with it. But really, it's just enabling more of this. Like,
it's preventing her from never going through past the grieving process.
That's right. Yeah. She didn't get past it.
Yeah. But she wound up in, like, a kind of a weird situation where she didn't know what to do with the AI, because the AI had gotten to the point where it was self-preserving and it didn't want to die. And she's like, well, I don't want you here. And it's like, it's just a mess for everybody involved.
Yeah, but the kicker was that the stuff they compiled out of his interactions, that AI ended up being a better spouse than the actual guy, because the actual guy was kind of a dick.
Yeah.
So it was really awkward, because she was struggling with it.
Yeah.
Struggling with being more into the AI than the actual guy. But then at the same time, knowing that the AI wasn't really him. Because it wasn't the same. So it was weird. It was a really good episode.
Yeah, and it got weird. It got interesting because she started missing the bad things he used to do. Like, the things he used to do that were imperfect. She actually got to the point where she wanted those back just to make it seem more authentic. So, yeah, really good episode. Not at all related to hoarding and...
Well, yeah, because we were talking about
it's interesting.
Replacing human relationships with texting or human communication.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's relevant to the last episode we did, which, you know, I guess that's true. That's what it would look like for women if they were to get stuck in the whole, you know, self-gratification with technology. Like, I think they would just have, like, probably some robot that would come over and just cuddle them while they cry. So...
Well, women gain their, what do you call it, self-worth through vanity. It's like you get all these women posting selfies and getting likes and adoration and self-worth.
Yeah. I think we brought that up in our alpha test.
But it pilot. Bears repeating, damn it.
It is worth, yeah, it is definitely worth repeating for those that didn't hear. Lost my train of thought.
human connection. Yeah. Lack of human connection.
I forgot where I was going with that train. But, yeah, I mean, that is kind of something that people would... I don't know. It's going to be something that ends up changing in the future. Yeah, I totally forgot where I was going with that train of thought.
We're also going to talk about addiction and substance abuse and stuff like that.
Actually,
which is another strategy.
So yeah, it is kind of relevant because in a sense, that's what that company marketed in the Black Mirror episode is like. It's almost like a drug dealer giving you something because they know you're already in a bad state. It's a little like predatory, but you know the person knows themselves, so if they want to go down that route, I think they should be free to do so, but I wouldn't recommend it because I don't really think that's the best way to go. I don't know if I would actually want to, you know, now with genetics, like biology and genetics and all that advancing to this point where we can clone stuff, people would probably start doing that with their animals.
I'm sure they're doing it already where it's legal.
Yeah.
My husband showed me a article. China successfully made a chimera.
They had
a pig and a monkey.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be, I saw that on Reddit. I think they were saying that the benefits of it was that we can start using animals to grow organs for humans eventually.
Woohoo!
If they start getting it all refined. I think it was supposed to be something like a monkey's organ inside of a pig. So, I don't know though. I didn't read all of the article, so.
Yeah. I know they already kind of make human ears, like people who've lost ears.
On rats?
They grow them on rats, yeah. On the backs of rats. That's kind of funky.
It makes me think of a South Park episode.
I think I'll live without my ear.
You don't want a rat ear?
Nah, I'm good.
Like, it was a South Park episode.
I'll grow my hair out.
They grew something on a rat, but it wasn't an ear. But, yeah.
It's a useful appendage.
A very one. A very one. Very important one you don't want to lose. So, yeah, I don't know. I would probably, if I lost an ear or something and it's going to look, you know, normal, I'd probably take it opposed to dealing with the hearing disadvantage. So,
well, there's, I think it's just for looks. I don't know about the functionality. That's all internal.
Well, your ear is still designed in a way to pick up sound. Like it's, I don't want to say aerodynamic because that's not the right word, but it's designed to catch sound. So if you have it there opposed to just like a little hole inside of your head like a bird, then yeah, you're going to have
talking to my ear hole. I can't hear you very well.
Yeah, exactly. There's an acoustic advantage to the way our ears are designed. So it would benefit you a bit to get the rat ear opposed to nothing.
I'll get one of those, implants that they stick into your brain. Deaf people already get them.
I always wonder what that's like for them. Can you imagine like not ever hearing or seeing and then you just get a sense when you're like a teenager?
There's videos of those. It makes you cry. It makes me cry. Like just the joy on their face, their reaction. It's one of those gets you in the feels moments.
I always wonder if it's just like, I don't know, kind of alarming, because if you've never heard before, to start hearing, like, you have this sense that you can't turn off, you know? They say that hearing is, like, the last sense that goes when you're dying.
Oh.
So, once you start hearing, it never ends. Well, I guess it can end. Like, I don't know, like, a fucking grenade goes off by your face or something, but typically it doesn't end. And once you begin that, like, at a midpoint in life, it's probably just, like, hearing all of the stimulus that you have to learn how to filter and sort and Like, okay, an air conditioner. That's a heater. That's a cat. That's a liberal, you know? So.
First time you hear the toilet flush.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
So, it seems like it would be kind of overwhelming, but I'm sure they give them therapy and stuff to prepare them.
Just turn down the dial. Just turn the volume down a little bit. A little.
But yeah, hoarding, it's no fun. Like, the worst it got, at least in my case, my grandmother, she had brought home bed bugs from church.
Because she wanted to salvage something from church?
Well, those little things, they get everywhere. They're horrible, horrible creatures.
What did she bring? What did she take home?
The bed bugs. She,
just the fucking bed bugs. There was no furniture attached to the bed bugs?
Nah, they're, you know, old ladies sitting on pews.
Yeah.
The bed bugs live with one. They sit there singing, and the bed bugs, they have a going away party, and then they hop on the next host. That's how they spread. So
damn.
They ended up showing up in her bed, and I had heard about it from my uncle, but I wasn't at home much, so I really didn't think anything of it, and eventually it just started spreading all over the house. And with hoarders, you know, that's hell. Like, trying to figure out how to get bed bugs out of a home and having a hoarder, it's like, you know, that's the best real estate investment for those bed bugs is to find a hoarder, because they're going to fight for them to stay there.
They scored.
Yeah, they scored the jackpot, so. But, yeah, ugh. Not fun.
How old were you when the bed bugs came along? Like, how long did you live with that?
I was a late bloomer, but I definitely got out, like, shortly after that. Luckily, I was working. I was working so much, that's why I wasn't at home much, because I used to work a ton of overtime because, you know, I liked my job at the time, so I was just working. I was away from home, always working, and it progressively got worse, and then finally I just, I was a little worried if I could afford a place, but I said, screw it, I'll just, you know, anything was better than this, because...
I'll figure it out, man.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. So, you know, it's just one of those things, like, there's double edges to things, and that was the silver lining that it got me away from that place. So, they got
me
out.
So, you should thank the bed bugs.
Yeah.
You're like, hell no. Hell no.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll find their good karma somehow in samsara, mostly. But.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, those things are resilient from what I hear.
Yeah, they're really hard to get rid of. The only reason that heat kills them, it kills them once it gets to the point to dehydrate the water in them.
Mm.
And they're not squishy either. They have very, like, their shells are very protective. So you have to really squeeze them in order to be able to kill them. Like, you can't just... They're probably harder to kill with a crushing force than, like, a sewer roach, like one of the large cockroaches. So that's how much of a pain they are. And then it's gross, because once you do kill them, they pop. And if they fed, then it's just like a...
Blood.
Yep.
Oy.
They know when you're sleeping. They don't care if you've been bad or good. So, dumb joke. They know when you're sleeping, because, you know, when I got these things, I was trying to figure out what the hell to do to get rid of them. Like, because people get fucking, like, a light version of PTSD from dealing with bed bugs, so.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they don't let you sleep.
Yeah, because.
Fight you at night.
People will try to stay awake to catch them, to kill them, but what I read is that they have a way of being attracted to carbon dioxide, so.
Oh, like mosquitoes.
Yeah, so...
That's how they find...
They wait... Basically, once you get into, like, REM deep levels of sleep, that's when you start to really pump it out. So they know that you're not asleep, because the content of carbon dioxide in the room it's not high enough, so they don't come out. And they're actually surprisingly flat. They're pretty fast considering how little they are. But yeah, I was so glad to be free of them. Like, it was a horrible.
They need to come up with like a vaccine to kill the bed bugs.
Well, there used to actually be a poison that was super effective, but it got banned because it was a poison, so it actually killed people too.
That's one way to fix it.
But you know, nowadays poisons are so regulated because you know you don't want people weaponizing them, like, you know, whole nanny state thing. They make the poison so weak that, you know, roaches just get drunk off of them and they get back up later with a little hangover. But back then, the poisons were poison, so people used to carry around this powder that they would throw on each other just to get rid of the bed bugs. And one of the effects of that poison is that apparently it was affecting some type of eagle in the United States, and it would make the structure of their eggs weaker. So that's why they ended up banning it, because it was kind of an environmental thing. Plus, you know, I guess at a superficial level, it looks bad to have a country where your mascot animal is going extinct.
It's going extinct. Wow. So. Fuck it. We'll deal with the bed bugs.
Yeah, America. Save animals.
God damn.
So yeah, that's government logic for you. But anyway, they ended up making a resurgence after that. Plus, traveling. So, you know, it's easier to travel nowadays because planes are cheaper. People travel for work. So, the little things that get to spread more, the poison that actually kills them is illegal. So, yeah, like...
Like in hotel rooms and shit?
Yeah. So, like... That's crazy. Going back to the topic, like my friend told me about that he got to that place and those people were just living there, and they ate the food that his mom had cooked for the holidays.
Oh my god!
So they ate their food and just messed up the house, and then bring all kinds of stuff with them. It's not a black and white situation of, well, don't you just care about these people? It's like, well, yeah, you wish them well, but at the same time, do you really want to throw your life away and your resources for them? So, it's something that's kind of hard to really work out. There's no easy solution for it. And same thing with hoarding too. You know, a lot of people, they might end up just feeling sorry for the hoarder and not really want to just make them freak out by throwing away all their stuff. So
yeah, that tends to make the problem worse.
Yeah.
After a bit, if you stress them out, they just end up they revert to their coping strategy, was just get more stuff. So end up with more stuff, more cats and piss,
bed bugs,
and bed bugs. Boy, enough to make you want to drink.
Yeah, well, and there you go. Then you drink enough to lose your job, your squatter.
There you go. We have come full circle.
Yep. Yeah, it's...
So what? How are you coping with all that?
I could barely sleep back then when I was living in that environment. Like, it got to the point where I was just falling asleep driving home from work. So... It wasn't fun. It was not fun. But I lucked out and I ended up getting out at, like, a miraculous moment. So... Because my grandmother, she had gotten to the point where she was wanting me to just start throwing away the stuff because it had been a problem for a while. But with hoarders, you know, once you start throwing away their stuff, they start threatening to call the police and, you know. And
Wait, she told you to get rid of some stuff and then she, like, backpedaled?
No, it was my grandmother wanted me to throw away my mother's junk because it was spilling everywhere, like it. She would do her best to keep it, like, just mitigated to my mother's room, but she would still have junk all over the place. So, you know,
she was still wanting to keep her stuff, but she wanted your mom's stuff gone. Was she still around?
Well, the thing is, it's my grandmother's house, so technically she, you know, I'm not a fucking lawyer, I don't know, but if someone's in your house, you can choose some things like that, like, hey, all this stuff is a problem, you can't just keep all this here. So
You can squat, but you can't squat too much.
Yeah, so with my mom, you know, she had given me, my grandmother had given me permission to just start throwing away stuff that, just to try and get the house cleaner. Mm-hmm. So my mom was threatening to call the police, and it was yeah. So, as we learned from earlier, who knows what could happen.
Wow.
I fear for my life. He was clearly on drugs. Said something about bed bugs.
You were just sleep deprived.
Right.
Same thing. Drunk, sleep deprived. No, that's true. That's a big, yeah. Sleep is so important for your mind and your mood and just everything. Your
sanity.
Yeah. Your fucking sanity.
If you go long enough without sleep, you start to hallucinate. Like, if you've ever, like, worked, like, really, really long shifts, I thought I was the only one that experienced this, but a lot of people, when you start working, like, super long shifts, like, at when I was at that job, I think the longest I had worked was 90 hours in 1 week. And
that night job?
Well, when you're working 90 hours in 1 week, you know, I don't know what night job means. It's kind of like an all day thing. The longest I did there, I did like 5 shifts straight. So I was there for 40 hours, which was just one shift. So,
but this was involuntary, right? Your manager, your boss was like,
well, I'll put it this way. Once
they were short on people, right?
The one time I couldn't stay, that's when they terminated me. So,
what?
Yeah. So, but you know, that's just how Zells is, unfortunately.
So. I thought there was some kind of law where people weren't allowed to work more than like a certain number of hours between.
Well, I was a temp, so it's
technically not their employee.
Yeah, exactly.
So, oh man,
that's
yeah. I continue getting away with a lot of dumb shit like that.
Yeah, that's why I just prefer the free market, because when you just start trying to regulate stuff, it all just becomes like a power game and moving the chess pieces around. You just get people just fighting for what laws benefit them, and it's a stupid game. So it doesn't help the people that you intend to help all the time. So yeah, I was a temp, so they could do whatever they wanted. And you know, it sucked too, because we had to basically deal with other people, because you know, I worked at the, well, at my location, we had to deal with other people too, to instruct them to stay at stores and stuff like that. So it was, ugh. They didn't like it either. Like, they would appeal, they'd try to plead to us, and we couldn't give them permission to go. But yeah, it's a bad business practice, but that's why you have to be active with your decisions, you know. Don't support companies that do that type of that business practice. Just don't work there if it's not something that you're enjoying. So, you know, I don't blame them for it, because, you know, I got paid for my time there, so.
Eh.
Yeah.
It's hard to know. It's hard to know when a company's shit, unless someone's leaving, like, reviews. Well, this is the worst place to work for.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a job with a high turnover rate, you know that it's got problems, so. There's a phrase that people don't quit bad jobs, they quit bad management. So
that's right. Yeah.
If the way that they're
the incompetence.
Yeah, if the way the place is run and all that, whatever rules is holding them to that way of running the business, you know, just find another place. Other companies will be probably glad to take you. So
you just gotta look.
Yeah.
But if you're sleep deprived, then you're not going to be in that mindset to be able to look. It's like you got to do it before you reach that fucking point of hopelessness and just literally unable to stay awake enough to find another job.
But yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I don't really fault the company, because it was my decision. Like, if I wanted to, I could have just quit at any time, but I got terminated because I couldn't cover 2 other people's shift. So it sucks, but it worked out, because a company that I like a lot more took me on, and I was much happier with the job after. So there's always a silver lining.
Have you ever dealt with any like addictions Like, it could be anything, and like not necessarily substances.
I would say maybe food addiction.
Food, like, yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, I'm a pretty big dude, so yeah, and not as big as I used to be, but still pretty up there. So, you know, food addiction is something that a lot of people do deal with. They don't really phrase it that way, but if you kind of think about it, it's not all that different in a lot of ways.
Well, yeah, it still stimulates your pleasure centers.
Yeah.
People, and get that dopamine release.
Yeah. And people do it to calm anxiety and stuff like that. So it's learning to manage those impulses, because everybody has a way that their anxiety manifests and they try to satiate it. So, you know, it can, for some people, it may be like, you know, video game addiction, social media, sex, drugs, just whatever. So,
but it's funny how it's literally not the thing that they're addicted to, because it's an addiction to how that thing makes you feel, which is your own body's chemical releases that occur due to that substance. So we're not addicted to the substance. We're addicted to our own
feelings.
Chemicals.
Yeah, we're addicted to our own feelings, and that's kind of something.
It's just these substances or the act, whatever you do. Like, I mean, sex releases pleasure hormones also. So, like, that release is what you're feeling is what you become addicted to.
Get all the endorphins, and I forgot what do they call the love hormone?
Oxytocin.
Yeah, there we go.
So. Yeah. Like, some women even get addicted to breastfeeding because that stimulates oxytocin. Did you know that? You're like, oh, that's weird. But yeah, it's like they won't stop breastfeeding past, I mean, whenever you're supposed to wean the baby. Like, 5 years old, still sucking on the
You don't watch Game of Thrones, but there's something in Game of Thrones that makes me think of that. Yeah, and that's probably not good for the kid, that the kid is like, you know, 12 years old and for some reason he can't play outside. It's like, all right, Ma, you need to get a husband.
You can get something.
Yeah. You need to get her one of those sex robots from Black Mirror at that point.
There you go.
I'd better.
We're almost there. We're getting there.
Just get her a cow, like a baby cow, a calf. There we go. Have her just wean the cattle and she can, everybody benefits.
Yeah, it's so easy to get addicted to stuff these days.
So what about you? What would you say, any addictions that you can say you think you wrestled with?
Definitely internet use. Like, I spend a lot of time online and it's like a constant stream of just information. You're just jumping from thing to thing, and before you know it, it's fucking time to make dinner. You're like, what did I do with my day? But yeah, I think internet was a big one for me, especially since, like, I got my first computer when I was like 12. So from that point on.
The same. Yeah, that's very similar to me. I got my first computer when I was in middle school, around 7th grade, and after that, I was like blown away. Like, got on an MMO. It was my first time playing like a computer game online. It was this game called RuneScape, and I just got super addicted to it. Plus, a lot of us in middle school were playing it, so it was it ended up being a benefit for me, because I made friends with other people that played the game too. So before I knew it, it translated to making more friends in real life from that circle. So.
Yeah, you get to meet people that you normally wouldn't really even meet in person, like, where just in your community, you know?
Yeah. So
outside of your community.
But I was kind of at a, I don't know, it was kind of bad too, because back then I only had dial-up, so my friends from elementary school that didn't go to the same school I went to, they could never get a hold of me, because back then you had to choose if you wanted to be online, nobody could use the phone line, so... So, unfortunately, I ended up kind of, like, putting some space between my old friends, because I was always online, and they couldn't get in contact with me, because, you know, like one, he had moved away, which is actually interesting to go back down this train of thought, because I remember this guy actually contacted me out of nowhere this week.
Really?
So, and he was a friend from elementary school that he used to just say, you know, he could never get a hold of me because I was just always online and we had dial up. So,
aww.
But
yeah, I was always on the computer in middle school. I wasn't even researching shit. I was just looking at stuff, like, or chatting with people. Like I would get on Yahoo Chat and just go into different chat rooms and talk to people.
Yeah.
And then I started meeting up with guys shortly after that.
Yeah.
What, Kitty?
Like,
cat's in here making noise.
Yeah, like late in my high school years, that's when social media and stuff really started to take off. So started meeting people and basically started meeting girls and stuff online. So it was it's one of those things, like, it's hard to teach people to manage the screen time, because even if you're not doing
something,
you gotta
set your own limits.
Yeah, even if you're not doing something recreational, though, you'll go to work and you have to work with a screen, just because that's where technology is going now. So,
yeah, everything's a damn screen.
Yep. It's and even then, like, I think people get pretty liberal with the word addiction. Like, if it's, you know, I don't consider it an addiction until it gets to the point that it's causing you problems in your life. You know, and it's kind of like a compulsive thing that you want to stop, you can't stop, but it's kind of giving you problems. So,
yeah, I was definitely interfering with, like, my grades. And I remember feeling like I couldn't wait to go home and get online. Like, that was like, I would get jittery, like, just restless.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I was the same way about RuneScape back then.
With what?
With RuneScape.
Oh, your game? Yeah.
Yeah. So it was you know, and it was just something that was brand new. Like, you never had a multiplayer game on that experience and, like, on that scale, I should say.
And yeah, same thing, it's all with, new.
You know, same thing with social media, too. Like, with social media, you had, like, all these groups where you could go to, and now it's turned into everybody has their own echo chamber and subcultures and stuff that have all developed online. So,
yeah, people get addicted to that social media.
Yeah. People are all... just, I know people are pretty lonely and starved, and they end up filling it with just digital connections. So, but there's, you know, as they say in one of my favorite shows, you can't go back, Bob. It's just the way it is.
What's that from?
The Walking Dead.
Oh.
Yeah. What a surprise. But
I should have known.
Yeah, it's not something that, you know, technology is moving in a way, you're just not going to be able to stop it. You can just hope that we learn while we're evolving with it.
I don't know. I feel like it kind of takes away from... I mean, it definitely takes away from your time and attention and relationships and forming bonds with people, which was what we evolved to do.
Yeah, it's... And even then, like, I don't mean it in a pessimistic way, but a lot of people, if they were to just cut off their internet usage, they would find something equally unproductive to get addicted to. So,
yeah.
I don't know how all useful that is, because, you know, now they're not online, but who knows, maybe they'll just be watching TV all day. So
maybe we need to adopt a ban on the internet for a little while.
We become in China,
like,
now.
Like Russia banning porn.
Become China and Russia.
There you go.
Yep. Go so far libertarian, we come back authoritarian. But
yeah, people got to put their own limits on their stuff, though.
Yeah, they do. But I don't know, the benefits, it'll play out in the long term. If there's just no benefit to it, then people will stop doing it. And I'm sure the younger generations, since it's not something that they know the world without, it's not going to have that same captivating effect that it had on people of our age group. It'll just be something like, you know, like the microwave or something. You just take it for granted.
Yeah, it'll be like no big deal. Yeah. Whatever.
And plus, they'll probably be more aware of all the traps and stuff. Like, oh no, you can't put your credit card information there. No, that's not a real person you're talking to. That's a bot. No, don't click that. That'll give you a virus. So
we'll be coming to them for technical shit in the future.
Yeah. So
whatever the next new thing is going to be.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah. So, I guess to a degree, yeah, I would say internet addiction for a bit, but I don't really see it as much of an addiction anymore because it's helped me learn things that are relevant to work, so it's been beneficial.
Yeah, it's pretty helpful. Once you know how to your usage of it. You also build up a tolerance, right? It's like it just loses that effect over time, just with anything.
Yeah, you just go through like an overexposure, so. But yeah, going back to what you were saying earlier, because this kind of ties into our last episode, you were saying how we kind of really are more addicted to the feelings of things than the actual object. And that was one of those things that Buddhism basically taught me. And when I started looking at the world like that, like, you're more addicted to the senses than which you're actually interpreting the senses as. So that's one of those things that it's like, whoa, when you start realizing that, it really makes you wonder how much you care about whatever it is you think you care about. Because if your feelings weren't there to guide you, like if all those biological responses weren't there, it would just be kind of a detached compassion that you would, probably, that would be, you would have like a disposition of detached compassion that you would view the things you say you care about now with. So, I remember I
told you. Yeah, I've seen that in the Bible also. It talks about worldliness, being too attached to things in the world.
Yeah.
But then you have to define it. Like, what is it? It's like, it's anything in your body, anything in the physical world. It doesn't feed your soul. If it's not feeding your soul, then take a closer look.
Yeah, it's not all that useful for you. Unfortunately, I didn't have anyone interpreting the Bible for me like that when I was younger. And at least when I started learning about Buddhism, it was more direct to learn about like the sense gates and everything, and just to mindfully observe all these sensations and not get caught up by them, by wanting them or wanting to avoid them. And, it's a practice that you cultivate because, no one's perfect. So you still got your, what would be the Christian version of sins.
Everything in moderation.
Yeah. And that sounds, for me, when I was learning about different religions, that was one thing that I always thought was interesting, to see the things that they had in common. So, and in, Christianity, that is a big thing, to learn not to get too tied up in things in the world and just to, focus on God. Buddhism, it's a little more directly stated that if you think anything's going to last forever, you're looking at it with the wrong perspective. And that's what's going to cause you suffering. So, I think it's a little more systematic in how they have everything structured. So, what ended up drawing me to it and me getting some benefit from it.
Well, yeah, because if you're too attached to the world, then you're not going to work on your spiritual endeavors. And you're not going to have any spiritual endeavors.
Yeah, you're just going to be motivated by your drives. That'll be it. That'll just be run from this or chase this. So,
which that's what the Jesus was struggling with in that movie.
That's what the what do you call that guy? Who was that dude?
Who was that guy?
Died for your sins.
that Jesus guy.
Yeah. Jesus, that was it. So, all right, we're approaching the, well, actually, we're a little over the 1 hour mark here. We want to keep going, or do we want to go ahead and close this out? What are you feeling?
think we're good. Yeah, we're ready.
Okay. Alrighty. Do you want to...
You want me to outro?
Yeah, as Bill O'Reilly would say, do you want to play us out?
Play us out.
And to play us out, here's Janet.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you taking the time to listen. And I hope you'll tune in again soon. We'll catch you in the next one.
Alrighty. Like and subscribe, and we'll see you guys next time.